Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch's sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 28 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. I am one of your hosts, Jim Viscardi, and as always, usually most of the time, I am joined by Christian Hoffer and Megan Peters, but Megan is not here today. She is sick and probably playing Pokemon all day.
Yeah, well, I'm sad for her and yet weirdly jealous.
If you are new to the show, we talk about all things Pokemon. Pokemon games, the video and trading card variety. Also the mobile variety. We also talk about Pokemon things, the Pokemon anime, the Pokemon manga. And then every week, we get a Pokemon fact of the week that Christian gives us that makes you a smarter and better Pokemon fan.
That's probably not true.
This is the Pokemon show that keeps on giving. Not only do we give you the things that you need to be smarter, we also give away free t-shirts from time to time. One, if you're watching the video feed and have been a long-time listener, yes, I broke. I sent Christian a t-shirt.
That's right.
Mainly because we had to send him, one, his Halloween Bulbasaur, and two, I had to send him a copy of Pokemon Sword and Shield because we are playing that for review purposes. We can't really say much more than that. I actually don't even know if we're allowed to say that. So
I have a t-shirt, guys. I have been working for comicbook.com for 4.5 years, literally since the day my child was born. Like, I outrank, like, everybody but, like, 3 employees in terms of, like, length that I've worked for this company.
I was thinking the other day, and I forgot how we found you.
It's because I would make fun of comicbook.com incessantly. Oh, right. At my old website, I would mock the hell out of you guys.
Right, I forgot about that.
And then
right.
When I quit that, you were like, hey, Christian, want to come and write for me? I'm like, yes, I am a sellout, 100%. I have no ethical qualms. What are you talking about? And so I merrily came and, like, started writing for you guys, like, yeah. 2 months later.
And then was like, hey, I'm a big Pokemon fan.
Then Pokemon Go happened, and the rest is history. Man, so long ago.
So, like I said, if you're watching the video and would like one of those awesome, handy-dandy comicbook.com t-shirts, we give them out for free. All you need to do is leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and tell us what you like about the show. And if we read it on the air, we'll send one out. We're sending a bunch out this week, so if you have been waiting, have no fear. They are coming shortly. So, we break the show down into 3 parts. The last part is the Pokemon fact. The first part is we do some quick news hit items, and then we do a little bit of a deep dive on something. Today we're going to talk about, we're going to say farewell to Sun and Moon. And so that'll be a fun little topic to discuss. But let's get right into it, because there are Sword and Shield leaks that are out there from people who have the game. And that's really all we can say about it. There's everything that you would kind of expect you to want to see from a leak like this, from Starter Evolutions, etc. They're all over Twitter, so yeah. If you want to see what they look like, just that you don't really have to go that far.
It's
unfortunate.
Yeah, it is.
But you expect it for something this big.
Yeah, well, so there's 2 things to keep in mind here. One, the leaks, the lack of leaks lasted a lot longer.
It's true.
Than like Sun and Moon and Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. Like, we knew everything about those games months before they happened for different reasons. So, you know, the Pokemon company did do a really good job of locking up stuff. I mean, there was the one, you know, leak that was posted to 4chan a few months ago that we've talked about on the site that's ended up being true as, yep. You know, official stuff. You know, the difference between that is we're under a media embargo now, so we can't really comment on the veracity of these leaks. I can tell you that not all of them are likely real. We can't talk about which ones are true and which ones right. are not, because that probably breaks our embargo. But just remember that, you know, if you want to stay surprised, the only thing you need to do on the internet is download this podcast and just get off the internet besides that. Yeah. And also, don't believe everything you read on the internet. Mm-hmm. Unless you get it from comicbook.com.
But like I said, like Megan, you know, Nintendo was kind enough to send us both versions of the game. Megan is reviewing one, Christian is reviewing the other. I, however, remain gameless. So, but they have sunk a ton of hours into it. Megan is basically almost done. Christian is about 7 hours in, and
got my copy yesterday.
It's
going to
be good. So yeah, so Christian got it yesterday and has already sunk 7 hours into it.
Yeah,
it's basically a full work day in the span of 24 hours. So we commend Christian for his dedication to the show. And that's all we can really talk about that. So let's jump into Pokemon Go, because guess what? Team Rocket's back, baby, and I am excited.
It's going to be good. So starting yesterday, that's Tuesday in our time, you can now start getting mysterious components by beating Team Rocket grunts at Pokestops. When you get so many of those, you can turn on a new device called the Pokemon Go Rocket Radar or Team Go Rocket Radar. But it will reveal the location of one of the three Team Rocket admins. Each of those admins have different Pokemon. One of those Pokemon will always be the same. It's like Meowth for one, Scyther for another, and I believe Weevil or Sneasel is the third one, but I'm not 100% certain on that. And then once you do all of that, once you defeat them, they'll always drop the same Pokemon. There's more rewards, but the shadow Pokemon that you can capture has a chance of being shiny, which that's a first for this.
A shiny shadow Pokemon. That's pretty cool.
Say that three times fast or five.
Shiny shadow Pokemon. Shiny Pokemon. I can't do it.
Ha! You know, so this, they've been teasing this for weeks now. Right. And so they, it seems like now we're through Halloween, now that we're through their special research event, which happened last weekend. Now we're getting back to the Team Rocket storyline. They kind of did all this like lead up in which like the different good team leaders like faced off against one of the Team Rocket admins. And then the admins start trash talking them on Twitter. So, I mean, it was really like villain monologue type stuff, which is okay. You know, the Pokemon franchise is well known for their villains monologuing basically whenever possible. So, it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. We're not 100% sure like what the end game is. Giovanni's been like coded into the game, but he hasn't made an appearance yet. So we'll see if that means that we'll get him popping up. But yeah, we'll see what happens.
It is nice to note, though, that our long national or really global nightmare of the Eevee Flower Crown is finally over.
And thank God. I mean, I'll be 100% honest. I don't think that I've ever had, you know, I've been playing Pokemon Go since launch. I don't think something has ever killed my interest like the Pokemon, like the Flower Crown Eevee. You know, it's just like, I already had like a dozen of them. I had shiny Flower Crown Eevees already. There was just no reason. And like, I used to like go in every day, make sure I completed a few research tasks so I could, you know, move towards that research breakthrough. And like, I did one research breakthrough during the last 2 months. There was just no incentive whatsoever.
This is not just us being like, down with Flower Crown Eevee. Like, it was legitimately really annoying.
Yeah.
Like you go anywhere, if like I'm in a few local Pokemon Go groups on Facebook and I, you know, see it on Twitter, like people were just like, oh, okay, enough with the Flower Crown Eevee. Like, come on.
Even my neighbor who just got into playing like a couple months ago with her kids.
Is this a different neighbor?
No, same neighbor.
Okay.
Now
the neighbors get playing with their kids.
Yeah.
We think you're a superhero.
Even they're kind of like, so when do we get to move on from this? I'm like, it's happening. It's happening. You can start getting like legendary Pokemon again now.
I can see how like if you were especially a new player coming in during this time, it would have just been.
Yeah. And like I get it to some extent. Like I don't mind the whole 2 month window. And I even understand like cycling back in some of these like costumed or event things. But, like, you know, this one was a misstep. Like, they've done a pretty good job with, like, the distribution of these, like, the research breakthroughs and all this stuff. And this was a rare, you know, mistake. You know, if they would have just done it for 1 month, and even if had they switched it to, like, Flower Crown Pikachu for that second month, I think even that would have been not as bad as what we got. Like, you know, it was just too much for too little. And yeah, it like I said, it killed a lot of people's.
I totally like skipped this entire Halloween event. Like I was kind of excited for it, mainly because I wanted to catch some of the Charmanders because I thought they were very cute.
Yeah. But
even then, like I got one of those and I was like, all right, I'm okay.
Yeah.
But did they even bring out Witch Hat Pikachu?
No, because you know they did the Mimikyu Pikachu instead.
Okay. Oh right, Mimikyu Pikachu, right?
Which
right,
I'm
right.
Which you know that was a good move, and like people genuinely like the costumed Pokemon. I think we'll get that moving forward, like because a lot of people freaking like that.
Yeah, those were really cool.
Yeah, so you know it wasn't like the last 2 months weren't like a total complete bust. You know, this wasn't, you know, the Flower Crown Eevee wasn't like a game killer by any stretch of the imagination.
No, it was just one of those things where it like we like to rag on Pokemon Masters for a bit. It just like it felt a bit grindy for no real reason.
Exactly.
But it's good to see. I am pumped for the Team Rocket storyline to pick back up. Like I said, that was a highlight of some of the summer months. I wonder if they will hold Giovanni for next year.
Yeah.
They can see it, but I know people really want to see him. And they've been using him a lot more. Like you've been seeing him sort of pop up in various things.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. You know, some of that was because of the Pokemon Let's Go games. You know, Giovanni was the main bad guy. So it made sense to bring him back in different things or to make him more prominent. And, you know, he's always been kind of like, you know, Pokemon doesn't have like a true like antagonist, like Dr. Eggman or Bowser or anything like that. So Giovanni's really the closest we have to that just because he's appeared in the most games and stuff. But I'm kind of curious because, you know, we'll have the holiday stuff coming up here in just a few weeks, really. I mean, we're almost, you know, a third of the way through November.
Santa Hat Pikachu. I love Santa Hat Pikachu.
I mean, I don't hate it. My kid freaking loves Santa Hat Pikachu. You know, last year the Pokemon Company sent me a holiday present, and you know, one of the things was a Santa Hat Pikachu, like hat, like the actual hat with Pikachu ears. Nice. And my kid wore that for like a week straight. I'm expecting the same thing to happen this year. Yeah, no, the holidays should be interesting. We'll get the big community day thing, I think, again this year. I'm a little bit curious to see like what they bring back because they always try to spend December. It's like, oh, you have a chance to catch like maybe some starter Pokemon that you know couldn't find earlier, or you know they do a couple of like nice things. So like you know for people who it's nice because you don't experience like FOMO. You know, like, it's more like, oh, so you missed out on something earlier this year. Here's a second chance. And if you already had it, take the holidays off. Enjoy time with your family. Or if you don't want to spend time with your family, now you have an excuse to avoid them.
There you go. Speaking of the holidays, the Pokemon Company has released the most adorable train figures.
I have never felt so targeted in my life. So
Christian's kid loves trains.
Yeah, so my child has two main interests, Pokemon and trains. I mean, the little boy that's, I mean, he's four-year-old boys love trains. Like, every day we drive by a train track, and he's
Venn diagram there is almost overlapped.
And, like, you know, my kid has his eyes peeled for trains just constantly. So they announced these things last week. I just was like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. So they're releasing these trains. It's called the Delibird Holiday Express. There's four different train figures. Each of them are cute. They're hand-painted. The engine has Pikachu and Eevee. Pikachu's got a little conductor hat. Eevee's...
Are they, like, ceramic?
Yeah, I think they're ceramic. Yeah. I hope they're ceramic. I don't know. Yeah. I'll find out when it comes in a few weeks, because, of course, I bought one. Like, it's going to be one of my kids' Christmas presents. So there's four of them. One of them's got Pikachu and Eevee. Another one's got Dragonite being, like, tied up by Plusle and Minun. And he's getting, like, tied up by with holiday lights. There's a box car that features Alolan Vulpix and Scraggy. And then the fourth one is Slowpoke sleeping on top of a caboose as snow is coming down him. So, like, that was actually kind of depressing because, like, so Slowpoke is covered with, like, snow as he's sleeping outside. And it's like, someone just let this poor Pokemon in for the love of God. Like, why are you letting this tropical Pokemon freeze to death? Like, he's not built for this. He's also has a very low IQ, for the love of God. He's freezing to death out there. Someone let him in. But they're $40 a piece. A new one goes on sale every Monday on the Pokemon Center retail store. If you like trains or you like Pokemon, buy
these. I suspect we're just about to hit that holiday merch blitz from the Pokemon
company. They've got it all out on the website. So they released a lot of it last week. It's kind of a mix of kind of your standard stuff. So they've got some new like holiday plushes. So, you know, some of the different Pokemon are wearing costumes and stuff like that. So Charmander's one, he's wearing I believe a Stantler costume. Pikachu is wearing something. Eevee is wearing something. I can't remember all of it, but it's all too freaking cute. You can get a Pokeball tree topper.
I saw that, and I thought about that. I sent that to my wife, and she was like, no. That is a step too far. And I was like, fine, I'm going to get my own mini Christmas tree, and that's going to be my topper.
Yeah, we have a bunch of Pokemon ornaments that we bought from GameStop a few years ago, but they have, like, the Pokeball lights that you can hang up, and like I had to avoid. I was like, you know what, we cannot be a solely Pokemon household for the holidays. You know, we have family that comes in, and the problem is if they think that our only interest is Pokemon, get is Pokemon stuff.
That's true. Fair enough. Speaking of Pokemon stuff, was it just 2 weeks ago we had talked about the Pichu that was coming to Build-A-Bear Workshop, and now we have something else coming to Build-A-Bear Workshop, a Flareon?
That is the rumor, at least. So this has not been officially confirmed, but...
No, probably get announced like this week.
I'm sure they will. So the official release date is November 12th, which is conveniently like 3 days before Pokemon Sword and Shield's release. One of my pals, he runs Pokeshopper.com, which is this big Pokemon merchandise database. And he says it's Flareon. I don't know what his sources are, but the dude is like never wrong.
He's never been wrong.
Yeah. Yep. So if he says it's Flareon, it's freaking Flareon.
That's a really interesting one to do next. I mean, it was only a matter of time. We were just talking about how it was only a matter of time before they do the EV evolutions.
Yeah, I was a little surprised by the choice of it. I mean, it makes sense on some level. Flareon's fluffy. He's cute. He's an EV evolution. So, you know, it kind of checks off the different like popularity boxes. Like, I'm sure that they have like a complex matrix that goes into making these
decisions. How they pick their next ones. Yeah. Well, like, I honestly thought, if anything, that they would have picked something for a starter for Sword and Shield.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that they'd go with like Grookey or Scorbunny personally. But, you know, at the same time, I guess they don't have the whole, you know, because think about it. Like, while there is some definite crossover between Pokemon and Build-A-Bear,
some new people coming in are going to be like, I don't know what this
exactly.
Is this
you know,
something else.
They've done two Pokemon, I think, that have not been from Gen 1. You know, they've only done Piplup and Snubbull. And a little in Vulpix too, but you know, that's just looks like an albino.
That's just a snowy Vulpix.
Exactly. So, you know, we've got that. You know, so I think that's the reason why is it's just because, you know, people go like, you know, your grandparents can go in and go, oh yeah, no, I know Pikachu. Everyone knows Pikachu.
I'm actually shocked that they have not done Ditto yet.
Oh god, because that would be like an Eldritch horror. You know, that's one of the truly terrifying Pokemon.
I don't know. I mean, if you've seen Detective Pikachu, yes, absolutely terrifying. But, like, on the surface level, like, even when you're, like, even just looking at the game and, you know, thinking that it can turn into other Pokemon, whatever, it's just like a nice little lump of clay that it's got a nice shape that's easy to stuff. And it could be, like I said, it could be like a nice pillow / plush.
I'm kind of surprised they never did like a beanbag, like a Ditto beanbag, like an amorphous Ditto beanbag of some kind.
Like something like that, like they sort of done for Snorlax, but that's just
Ditto. Yeah, exactly. Like that's kind of like my big surprise is that they've never done something like that or got one of those. You remember those stupid things that are like the tubes are filled with water and it's like, you know, like the stress I'm making like obscene gestures inadvertently on the video. Sorry about that, guys. I'll keep my hands down here. Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't done something like that with Ditto.
Like Ditto stress balls.
Just, yeah. You know, yeah, go ahead and squeeze that Ditto.
All right. Well, so Flareon. Flareon makes the most sense just because kind of given its shape, especially if they just have him sitting because he's got just sort of a big round tail. It will be curious to see if, you know, sometime next year they do a Vaporeon do a Jolteon. Oh,
Jesus. But. Can you imagine if they do a Vaporeon? Like, Megan will literally just like camp out.
She's going to be like one of those things where like you go to Megan's house and all of a sudden there's 30 of them just laying around. These are all my children. She's just become a crazy Vaporeon lady instead of a crazy cat lady or crazy dog person.
Oh man, I hope Megan never
listens. Just everywhere. They're just like sitting. Some of them are sitting in chairs and some of them
they're all dressed like, up differently and some of the costumes aren't even like official Build-A-Bear costumes. Like she's.
I'm sorry, Megan, but if they were Geodudes, we'd be saying the same thing about.
Okay. Yeah, this is what happens when you miss an episode. We turn on you fast.
Oh, so this is what it's like.
I was about to say, have you listened to the episodes that you're not around?
Yes.
It's just a slag gym fest. That's all we do.
All right, before we get to our deep dive, we got one more thing. We mentioned it yesterday, and Christian, to his credit, turned it into a story. We talked about the new card set, Cosmic Eclipse, and how, you know, some people, you know, whenever these new sets come out, there are a few cards that are the standout cards, not only for the cards that collectors want that players want to use while using, you know, in competition, but also the whole entire speculation market that is just a natural thing that comes to trading card games and comics, etc. And so Christian rounded up some of the hottest cards to come out of that. And were there? I don't think there were really any surprises.
The only big surprises were there were three.
There were a lot of trainer cards.
Yeah, there are a bunch of trainer cards. But I mean, it makes sense because like Power Plant is a stadium card that gets introduced, and basically it causes a bunch of GX and EX cards to lose their abilities. Where, you know, there's entire decks, like, you know, a lot of kind of like secondary GX cards that get put into play are used for those abilities. And so basically you're really negating some secondary abilities that really help, like, you know, build into certain decks. And so, like, you know, I can see why like the Power Plant got used. Great Hearth is another one. It's a stadium card, and basically that's a great complementary card for a lot of fire decks are really like hot right now. And so it's a card that gets you more fire energy into your hand in a hurry. And so you can like really start like, you know, utilizing your deck really quickly. The Great Catcher is another one. You've played the Pokemon card games since the beginning. So, you know, the old Gust of Wind card, where it allowed you to switch out cards. So there's been variants of that ability. You know, there's a bunch of different cards now, but they're all called like Gust cards. Named, you know, basically that's the meta name for them because they do the Gust of Wind effect. And so this is the latest Gust of Wind card, and it specifically aims at GX or EX cards. So you can either get, you know, pull those cards out onto your opponents, make it your active Pokemon, so you can start hitting them before they've got their energy loaded up. Or if somebody retreats, you can bring it right back out and finish it off and get those extra prizes. So that's pretty good. The other one is Rosa. I'm honestly not 100% sure why Rosa. I think it's just because people like Rosa.
Well, usually those trainer cards, it's characters like that, usually end up people like to collect those, just kind of.
Yeah, I have a lot of those full art cards.
And then I don't think it was, I mean, it wasn't really a surprise that obviously the top card was a Charizard.
Yeah, that's, I mean, this one is just, it's nasty. I mean, it's freaking nasty, man. So this card, it's GX ability. You can attach 5 energy from your discard pile to any of your Pokemon, however you'd like. And if you have extra energy attached to your Pokemon, it also causes your opponent's Pokemon to be both burned and confused. And the Brilliant Flare, which is its standard attack, only costs 4 energy to use. It lets a player search for their deck for 3 cards, adds them to their hand. You can do that every single turn. And it also does 180 damage. I mean, it's a nasty card. Like,
That is a powerhouse.
Like, you could hypothetically get this in play in, like, one, like, not one, but, like, two or three turns, and just really start wrecking house with it. And it also, you can set up your deck for later. So you, like, can pair this up with another, like, you know, GX card or something like that. Or this can be your secondary GX card. And then that gives you the ability where if you lose a card that you loaded up a lot of your energy, you can play that Crimson Flare Pillar and just bring all that energy back out and, like, you know, then load up your next Pokemon and send them out on the attack. I mean, it's nice. There's a lot of really great cards in this set. I'll be honest. Like, I'm a big fan of the set. Like, it's a good way to cap off Sun and Moon, which we'll talk about here in a second.
That's a perfect segue. So when we get back, we're going to take a quick break. We are going to talk and say goodbye to Sun and Moon. All right, we're back, and we are going to talk about the things that we liked about Sun and Moon, things we didn't necessarily like about Sun and Moon, and things that Sun and Moon has left behind for the future generations. Are you sad to see Sun and Moon go?
Yes and no. I mean, I think that a lot of, like, I'll admit, I was a little bit disappointed by the games aspect of it. Like, you know, I liked Sun and Moon. I thought that Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon had some interesting things that were a little bit too heavily tied to the post game. Like, you know, like, oh, you can catch all the legendaries, but, you know, you have to, like, get through the 40 hours of cutscenes first. and there wasn't enough really variation, like, I thought. Like, you know, like, I like that there was a new storyline to it, but, like, all the freaking other stuff was identical. And that was, like, really disappointing to me. Like, you know,
that's kind of where I'm at, where I loved everything that Sun and Moon brought outside of the actual game itself. I love the region. I love the characters. I love the Pokemon. I love the, you know, I love the anime, you know, the anime that, you know, came with it. And the, you know, the Alolan variants of our favorite Pokemon and things like all of that. I love the game itself. Like, I am thankful that because of this game, we got all that. But, like, am I going to go play that game over and over again? Probably.
And I think a lot of that had to do, like, I'm not going to say all of it. Like, they could have made another game, you know, like, but I think that there are, like, two parts to it. Like, one, they were already working on the Switch stuff, which clearly, apparently, was more of an undertaking than I think they realized. And so I think they didn't have much manpower to do anything more than a wallpapered over remake. But I think that the other big issue with it was, you know, this was the last game for the 3DS. And I think those games really pushed the 3DS to its limits. And, like, at times, like, you know, like, there would be lag in the battles and stuff. Like, I think they just, like, kind of, like, realized they couldn't do any more than what they got. And, like, you know, there are a lot of things in Sun and Moon that I did like. Like, you know, like, the actual innovations that and the additions to the franchise that that game added, like, they got rid of HMs, like, God bless. I'm trying to think about, like, the Alolan variants. I mean, that was a literal game changer. I mean, look, you know, how Sun and Moon, now Sword and Shield is starting to do the same exact thing. And it's even expanding on that greater. Like, I think that's going to be a permanent part of the franchise moving forward, which is not something you see too often, to be 100% honest. Like, you should.
No, I was saying, I don't think you've really gotten anything like that in a bit. Like,
yeah, not since, like, you know, maybe, like, special, like, you know, other than, like, fundamental game changers, like when they split attack and defense from special attack and special defense, or, like, natures and things like that. You know, more, like, kind of, like, the fiddly stuff, but, you know, which, like, casuals, you know, don't necessarily care about. But, like, in terms of, like, yeah, no, by the way, we're redesigning Pokemon and turning them into, like, regional things. Like, that's huge.
Right, because what I love, that, like, and it's just, like, on paper, it's a simple thing. But, yeah, of course, and, you know, an Exeggutor would look different in a different part of the world. Like, it just, you know, bread differently. It's got different living conditions and things like that. Like, and so what I think it did was, instead of just having, here are the set of Pokemon that you can find in this region, and, you know, yes, there are some overlap, you know, with some of that stuff, but this is like, what really would they look like, mm-hmm. and what special abilities and things would they have there? That just, it makes the game feel more global and more real.
Yeah,
And that's what I really kind of appreciate. Like, don't get me wrong, there are some of the Alolan variants I just don't like. I don't like the Sandshrew. I think it's dumb. But I appreciate that the new Sandshrew is like that.
What don't you like about Alolan Sandshrew?
We've already talked about that. I don't like that it looks like an igloo, and it just
that's like adorable. It looked like a brick ball before. Now at least it looks like something round that's actually made of bricks.
I also will say I did not like Z crystals.
Yeah, that was you know, that was like I get what they were trying to do with it. You know, like, yep. Mega Evolution, I think they really like Mega Evolution, but at the same time, they're like, oh my god, like, you know, like, now the game is dominated by these, like, 50 species that can, like, Mega Evolve. And, right. You know, and if we wanted to add more, we have to design those. And I think that's also a big part of it. It's like, we don't want to design more of these suckers.
But no, but they do, because we're getting.
Well, I think they learned, you know, their lesson. I think that's
well, right.
I think they
can. So that is something that we can thank Sun and Moon for, is that they decided that, oh no, people really liked Mega Evolution type stuff, and so we're going to give you something similar but different.
And Dynamaxing and Gigantamaxing kind of like blends the two concepts together.
It does,
because you have the physical changes that you see with Mega Evolution, but you also get like, okay, now the moves are different, and some Pokemon get the exclusive moves that are different. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like my main issue with the Z crystals was the entire metagame started to revolve around them, like in a competitive level. Yes. It was always like, okay, when am I going to fire off my move, and can I get it off before my opponent does? And, like, you know, in the game, it just made it way too freaking easy. Like, it's like, okay, well, I have my, you know, fire-type Pokemon out. Now I'm going to Z-Crystal the crap out of this grass-type Pokemon. Oh, your champion Pokemon just went, like, you know, up in flames. Literally. Like, also, by the way, I dropped a continent on your Pokemon. Like, survive that. like that's like kind of the other thing. Like, it kind of cracks me up. Like, you know, we're going to see a little bit more of that here at Pokemon Sword and Shield. But, you know, like, some of the visuals were just so over the top ridiculous. It's like, okay, guys, let's calm down for a second here. Like, like, you know, you.
Well, that's why, like, you can say the same thing about one of the very first moves like that, like Surf, right? That is a giant tidal wave coming to wash you away. Like, how? Like,
but it was a
that
slow,
to me was always
it was
one.
A slow moving wave. It wasn't like, oh, by the way, a tsunami is coming, is going to kill 50,000 people and also take out your Pokemon. You know, that's the difference. It's like, the difference is like, oh, you're standing on a beach and a tall wave comes and hits you. That hurts. The Z move is like, ah, yes, we're going to wipe out this entire country. This island has suffered devastation.
But even without the Z move, like there were certain games where it looked out of control. Like even in, they kept it in Let's Go. Like Surf in Let's Go looks absolutely insane. Yeah. But
on a side note, That does remind me of, like, one of my favorite moves in Let's Go, which is the Eevee, like, exploding people, and, like, the Pokemon explodes behind him. It's like, where are the explosions coming from? Like, what did this Eevee do? Did he drop a grenade?
Isn't there the one that, like, like, Gigatoss or something, where it, like, carries the thing up in the air and it, like, circles the planet and then, like, slams it back down
that's
or something?
Seismic Toss, yeah.
Right, Seismic Toss, right, yeah, exactly, where it's just like,
oh, and it only does like 50 damage. Like, it's one of those like set amount of damage things. It's like, wait a second, you did like a Superman around the world and that's it? Like, what did you gently drop him on the ground after that? It's like, I hope you learned your lesson from your prolonged time out, guys.
My hope as we sort of say goodbye to Sun and Moon is that I really loved the characters of this generation. And I hope, generally when you leave a game behind, a lot of the characters don't, you know, don't really show up or whatever. And I don't necessarily expect that. I think I'm more excited to see if the Pokemon Company figures out other ways to bring them in via maybe mobile games or whatever. Not Pokemon Masters.
Yeah, no, that game's done.
but keep them in other ways. Like, have them pop up in other ways. Like, you know, I hope we see some of them pop up in the new anime and things like that. But that generation of characters is some of the most memorable, I think, that we've had in a long time.
I think what the really smart move that the Pokemon anime did, and don't get me wrong, I love Pokemon X and Y. Like, that is my favorite traditional Pokemon since the beginning, besides the total complete cop-out of an ending. But, you know, let's be real. Ash should have been champion of the Kalos region. There was no reason to. They were building up to it, and some bigwig pulled the trigger and, like, cut them out at the knees. Besides that, I mean, I genuinely love X and Y. But the big differences between X and Y and literally every past, you know, because X and Y follow the traditional Pokemon formula. Ash meets a friend, a gym leader. You know, there's one boy, there's one girl. They go and travel the region together, and then he leaves. The difference was Sun and Moon just took that formula and tossed it out the window. You know, the reason people love those Pokemon Sun and Moon characters is because we spent a crap ton of time with them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and it was more than just like, so if this would have been the traditional formula, you would have gotten like, I don't know, like Kyawe and Lily, you know, following Ash around. Yeah. And so we would have liked Kyawe and Lily, but like Mallo and Lana and Sophocles and Professor Kukui and like all these other characters we just wouldn't have gotten time with. And so by sending it in the classroom, you know, and then the other difference was that, you know, and again, they kind of did this with X and Y a bit. Like, Ash's Pokemon were always out of the ball. Like, you know, he had, like, you know, for the first time ever, like, you know, like, Ash really had a family. Like, I didn't mind, you know, the fact that, like, Ash only had, like, 5 Pokemon through this, because every single one of those Pokemon were so fleshed out. Like, insanely. Like, you know, they all had Pikachu-like characterization. We haven't seen characterization like that since the original anime. Like, you know, the reason why people love Bulbasaur and Squirtle and Charizard and, you know, even, like Pokemon like Butterfree or Pidgeotto, I mean, there's a nostalgia factor there, but a lot of it is because we had those Pokemon with us all the time for so long.
Yep.
And they didn't exactly have the same amount of time, like, in terms of episode length, but we still got the same amount of, like, screen time with all those Pokemon because, you know, they were just always out and about. Like, it was never, unless Ash was actively doing a battle, those Pokemon were always out with him at all times. They were always, like, sleeping with him. Like, one of my favorite visuals of the Pokemon Sun and Moon anime was when, like, Ash would be passed out, like, you know, on his couch.
Oh, yeah, and all his Pokemon would be just, like,
sleeping. Yeah, and, like, you know, like, Pikachu would be cuddling with him. Rowlet would be up, you know, somewhere. Like, you know, and, like, he had all of his, like, little Pokemon friends. And, like, you know, that's the first time that we've really seen something like that since the original anime. Like, we got that same feeling. Remember the one Pokemon episode where, like, Ash and his Pokemon are stranded in a cave. And so, you know, they all are, like, huddling around Charmander for warmth and they're all, like, hugging him. Like, you know, people remember that. And we got that sort of feeling with Sun and Moon. And I really, really hope that now that we're going to this, like, globe-trotting Pokemon kind of, like, reset, you know, that they remember that's why people love Sun and Moon. I mean, you never hear anybody complain about, like, the animation style anymore. Like, yeah, it was a little bit off-putting at first, but people really stopped caring, like, 10 episodes in. like, you know, it was a clever anime. They were, like, not dumb about it. Like, you know, they didn't talk down to kids. Like, you know, and again, you got that a little bit with X and Y, but, like, X and Y was, like, your traditional, like, shonen anime. Like, it was like,
all right, we get it, Christian. You love X and Y.
I'm just saying, like, I'm not going to, but, you know, this one was definitely made for kids, but at the same time, like, they had, like, freaking, like, Gundam references and all this, like, just weird, obscure Japanese, like, you know, like, references to, like, different, like, animes and, like, the past and, like, all sorts of just crazy, crazy stuff, and it was fantastic.
But I also love, like, there wasn't kind of an emotional roller coaster, right? Like, there were some great highs, and there were some low lows. Like, you know, like, I'll never forget the episode where,
Stoutland died?
What the hell was it? When Stoutland dies, yeah.
They actually had a Pokemon die.
Like, they had a Pokemon die, and I was like, oh, damn, we're getting dark.
Like, yeah, like, when has that ever happened? Like, there's like one movie in which, well, you know, besides like the 15 times that Ash has died over the course of the series. Yeah.
It's just so funny because I remember, like, I watched that with Nora, and Nora was like, whoa. And like, we had like our first like kind of real talk, because this was before she had seen The Lion King, and she like totally gets like the whole circle of life stuff. And so now that's her, you know, reasoning for everything, but this was before that. And so I had to like kind of explain death to my 4-year-old and just like what happened and whatever. And then meanwhile, so then naturally my daughter is obsessed with that episode. And so then she goes to watch it with my wife separately. And my wife is texting me being like, how are you letting her watch this? This dog just died.
On a side note, like, I just now have this picture of your daughter like at a funeral, just like very solemnly going, ah, yes, the circle of life.
It's like she's the things like, now when someone's going to die, they're going to be put in the ground that turns into grass for the animals to eat, that the lions eat, and then it's the circle of life. Yeah, man.
I just had to explain to my 4-year-old the concept of meat. He never realized that like the fish and fish sticks were fish,
right? So now he's going around saving all the
fish. He was just like, no. I was like, yeah, no, John, they're fish, you're eating fish. He's like, but why are we doing this? I'm like, listen, you little vegan. It's because they taste good.
So, like I said, I think we gotta get to the Pokemon fact of the week. But final thought on Sun and Moon. Like I said, I think we're probably both in agreement. I would imagine Meg would say the same thing. Everything that Sun and Moon brought to us, as far as expanding the franchise, are all things that we like and enjoy and appreciate. It's unfortunate that the game hit on the tail end of the 3DS's life, you know, life cycle, could only do what it could do. It was a totally fine game. I didn't necessarily care for the legendaries or whatever, but it gave us all of this, and so for that,
it provided a solid foundation for what's to come.
All right, Christian, Pokemon fact of the week.
I'm finally moving away from the creepy and just getting into some weird stuff. So as we have talked about here previously, there's a lot of Pokemon that are based off of real life creatures. One of those is Caterpie. Caterpie is actually based off of the Eastern Swallowtail Caterpillar, which is a caterpillar that you can find both. There's different swallowtails. You can find some swallowtails. There's the Asian swallowtail that you can find out in Japan, and there's the Eastern swallowtail that you can find out here in the United States. The interesting thing is, so Caterpie has these little circles on its back, as does the swallowtail. And there's a couple of interesting things about this Pokemon. The first one is, what are those eyes? I just gave it away. So those circles are actually fake eyes that, you know, are meant to, like, detract predators. And the actual swallowtail, where Caterpie's big eyes are, so we look at those and they're like, oh, look at these, like, big cute eyes. Well, the swallowtail caterpillar has the exact same eyes, but they're not really eyes. So they're these like the fake eyes.
Oh, that's
really cool. You know, like its actual face is what we consider to be like Caterpie's mouth. You know, that's its actual face, but the big one is actually a fake face on the real caterpillar. I don't think that's the case in Pokemon because we see
Caterpie.
Yeah, we've seen Caterpie blink and cry and all that stuff. So unless he's got tear ducts going on too. the other interesting thing, and this is I guess what you would really call the Pokemon fact of the week, is what's the thing on Caterpie's head?
Is it an interesting antenna?
Antenna. It's actually a thing called an osmeterium. I probably butchered that. It is a organ that is unique to caterpillars. It's kind of like a tongue, so it retracts in, and it only comes out when it's threatened, and it goes and emits a foul odor. It's basically, you know, so when...
A deterrent.
And so, you know, that's what Caterpie does, too. Like, when it's threatened by predators, it gives off a smell. And it's coming from this, like, osmeterium, which is an actual organ. The only difference is we've never seen Caterpie with it, like, extended inwards. But hypothetically, like all a lot of caterpillars have this specialized organ, and like they're all like retractable, so that like kind of like slides in. It's like basically like a tongue that like comes out of the top of their head. It's really creepy. Yeah,
I dig it.
So yeah, so something nice. A little weird. We got people really depressed because it was Halloween. So we'll get back to the depressing stuff later.
The super dark ones. Believe me, if you want, just listen to the last four if you want some really dark ones, and then just listen to the last 27 if you just want a mix of truly, truly terrifying and
horrible. So I decided to lighten
effects.
Up.
But this is a fun one. Thank you,
I decided
Christian.
To lighten it up a little bit, get more to the, oh, I did not realize that thing on Caterpie's head is not an antenna. And now you can explain that it's actually a stink organ. So just keep that in mind. Caterpie's got a stink organ on its head.
Before we get out of here, I do want to read a podcast review that we have gotten. If you leave a 5-star review on iTunes and we read it on the air, we'll send you one of those snazzy comicbook.com t-shirts free of charge. All you got to do is just let us know, because we like hearing from you. We like hearing from you on Twitter. We like hearing from you via these reviews. So we've had some great ones, some all-timers. And this is also a good one. The subject is a podcast would like to battle. I like it. From What the Chuck 3. So glad I found this podcast. I just started listening to podcasts in general. I didn't even know Apple Podcasts existed. And when I had a friend who isn't even into Pokemon suggest this podcast to me, I totally read that wrong. I didn't know, blah, 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 blah. He said he had a friend who isn't even into Pokemon suggest the podcast to him. You guys are entertaining and hilarious and so refreshing to find a positive outlet for Pokemon news these days, especially with the backlash and YouTube clickbait in the wake of Sword and Shield controversies, in quotations. Keep up the good work. Side note, I too am a Geodude line convert. I used to be a hater, but used one in a playthrough of Yellow a few years back and have been a fan ever since. To put it plainly, Geodude freaking rocks. Thank you, What the Chuck, validation, suck it, Christian.
I think that this is not actually a review. What the Chuck?
It is. It's right there. It is right there.
I'm going to find out that like Jim's middle name is Reddit. Chuck here. No, but seriously, thank you very much for that review. Even if you do like Geodude, we can't all be perfect.
All right, stop it. A Wild Podcast appears every Thursday or... Ever podcast can be found. I almost screwed that one up. I thought it was a different day. iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, you name it. If there are podcasts there, this show is there. You could also find it at comicbook.com. We'll have it there for you to listen. It's in all of our gaming stories and all of our anime stories, so you can listen to it live on the site. You can catch it on Facebook if you want to watch the video stream, or on YouTube. You can catch those as well. And like I said, we are just a few short days away. From Sword and Shield. It's so close.
Let us know if you're listening to this. Let us know how you want us to talk about Sword and Shield, because
there's so a lot of things we can go into and do, and it'll probably take up the next couple of episodes, but especially since I don't have the game yet, so I haven't played it.
sorry. I'm just having flashbacks to like last year with Let's Go came out, and like, you know, I didn't get until the release the day of. And so like, you know, people were like, yeah, like what's going on? I was getting like pinged about like, oh yeah, so when are we going to start Pokemon Let's Go coverage? I'm like, I don't know, 5 p.m. on Friday when I get home? Like, I haven't gotten the game yet, guys. I can't do anything about it.
So probably not next week. Maybe next week. We're going to double check the embargo date on what we can and can't talk about. And then we'll roll on there. So we will catch you the same time, same place next week. If you want to talk to us on Twitter, I'm at Jim Viscardi.
And I'm Christian Hoffer, and I'm at C-Hoffer C-Bus. Woo, I missed that one. Wow.
Yeah, you sure did. Thanks. Just a softball handed to him. And
C-Hoffer C-Bus.
Anyway, we catch us there. We'll talk to you about your favorite Pokemon, the things that you liked about Sun and Moon. Definitely love to hear about things that you are sad to see go, with things you are happy to see go, or whatever. And we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, guys.